السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. إن شاء الله we'll continue in reflecting together on one name of Asma Allah al-Husna, the beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah that Allah brought us together here again after a period of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always bring us together the best of condition and to do with the best of intention. Today's attribute, inshaAllah, an attribute that we all know and we say often, As-Samad. As-Samad. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد. As-Samad, of course, as we usually reflect on the name by talking about how or what it means in the language, but then what it means specifically when we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then what it means to us and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this name. And this is always a healthy way looking at the names and the attributes. It is not a way of repetition with a certain rhythm and so forth, but it is as it meant to be for us to understand and reflect on it and see what we share with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or how we share this name with Allah. Of course, maybe this is a bad statement. Share Hini meaning that Allah give us part of His attribute, and we need to know how we fit in this. And the word As-Samad, in the language, as scholars of language say, Samadtu ilayhi, Samadtu to him, meaning qasadtuhu, meaning I went and aiming, or what is qasada in English? What would be the best word for it? Aim, but aim could be physical. But qasadtu meaning have an intention to go toward the person. If you say samadtu that person, meaning I'm planning to go to him. This is what is my goal. Okay, this is my goal, is to reach that person. Okay. Also, when you say something that is samad, that is mean solid. Solid meaning it is not hollow. Also, it means that it is smooth, that nothing goes in it nor anything comes out of it. Okay. That is in the language. And a person who is samad is a person that people go to. Okay? People aim toward or have intention to go to or would like to go to. And when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-samad, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that we go to. And it is ism maf'ul as well, meaning it is when you, it's an action that you do, and also the person that you go to carries this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a samad, He's the one that all His creation go to. And also, He's the one that always there. Always there, meaning that never, always exist, does not go away. Non-existence is not part of his attributes, of his being, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a samad. He's always there, never goes away. And no changes in him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have a degrees of his attributes. His attributes always the same level, the same way. So when we say any attributes about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the creator, always the creator. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was Ar-Rahman, He was the most merciful, and so on. Okay. Now, when all the creation go to the creator because He is a Samad, because the creator has everything for the creation that they need. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes as a samad is a reason why all the creation go to Him. Because He is a samad, subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore what He does has hikmah in it, has wisdom in it. So Allah does exactly what needs to be done, what Allah ordained to be done at the time when it fits, and in a quality and quantity exactly as it fits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a samad because we go to Him is because He is ghani. He is independent and does not need us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaf'alu ma yurid. Allah does what He wishes. And we as human being, we do things that we don't quite wish to do. And we wish of doing things that we cannot do. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what He wants to do. So because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what He wished to do, and because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our relationship with Him is from a loving relationship, and because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most wise, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, so we go to Him and He's always there. He is a samad. Okay. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no changes comes to Allah, so we go to Him. He is a samad. He is the only one with this quality, and He's the only one that has no end and has no beginning. So we go to Him because He is a samad. Okay. And we keep going on and on and on. When we see our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a samad, we know how vulnerable we are, how little we are, and how dependent we are upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created us with changes, meaning that we have the quality of constant change. And we live in a life that is constantly changing. There is no moment like other moment. Not the one before it was different than it, and the one that after it will be different than it. Okay? And we're looking forward for the life of constant. Constant with no change. And that is the only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide in the hereafter. He's the only life in the hereafter. It is the only life in the hereafter. And the only one who provides it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in our life of change, constant change, we need a relationship with the one who is permanent, the one that receives no change, or the one who has no change, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is a samad. When we hold the rope of Allah, as some scholar says, the other end of this rope is with Allah. So, we hold the rope of Allah, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish for us. So, following the path that Allah designed for us, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the rope of Allah. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu a'lam, yani, is it going to work or not? Alhamdulillah. This happened always when I catch a cold. So, I told you, we all change all the time. That we get sick, we become well, we live and we die, we are young and we get old, and then we don't remember anything if we, Allah take us to old age. The question is, do we get young again? It depends. Yes, we do. Okay, with Allah's wishes and with our deeds and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the bounty of Allah. Okay? If our deeds reaches a level that we receive that bounty, then the bounty of Allah will take us in there and we'll become young again. InshaAllah. Which is the age of 33. So, now, in our lives, we need to think of this name, this attribute, as that only belongs to Allah, like all the other attributes. The essence is Tawheed. The essence of these discussions and these reflections is Tawheed. The essence of our religion is Tawheed. Okay? All our problems occurs because of the lack of Tawheed and the impurity of the Tawheed that we carry. Okay? So, when we decide that we need something, which is all the time. We know that we need something, one thing or another, all the time. Who do we go to? To a samad. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's always there with all His beautiful attributes. Okay? And if we think about going somewhere else, we are in a state of loss. Okay? Now, we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we go to Allah, we should know deep in our mind and our heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for us. Okay. And you should not have any doubt in that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a samad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to come to Him. Allah dislike us when we do not ask Him. Mankind dislike us when we ask them. Okay? Not all mankind. And which is some point that is coming. Okay? Which is a point that as dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a samad, And our share in that is to open our doors and to keep our doors open all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His doors are open all the time for all our needs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us abilities that varies between one and another. And our doors should be open to be part of this name as a human being. So we do not turn anyone away who asks. And we seek those who are in need, whether it is for something the physical we could do for them, something that is material that we could give to them, and whatever or information and knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us different than others, to be within the beauty and the bounty of this name, our doors has to be open all the time. Okay? And to be in this name, we should work with the least possible. When we think about being rich, what is rich means? Rich, it could mean something that is not good, or it could be something that is excellent. It depends on what you think of rich, what the word means. Rich meaning having access of things and more than what you need, this is not the right meaning of it. But rich mean, the meaning of rich of having what you need and only what you need, and everything more than that is access, and only you get what you need, and the rest is something that you don't exert an effort for or waste time with or use it to waste your time, then that concept of richness is good. Okay? Not being rich, okay, what does that mean, being poor? Okay? Are we being poor because of a lack of efforts that we have? That is not a good poor, if that term is valid. But a good poor person is the one who's taking the means, but Allah give him a qadar for him to be poor. Then he's doing his best to take the means, but Allah has not given him, and he is pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measured for him in this life. So this is part of this name. Okay, to be in this moderate kind and middle kind of a path. Okay, and so it is going to Allah and only to Allah. That is one. Second is knowing that Allah is always there for us, and we know this in deep in our heart and our mind. Third is to be moderate in what we do. Okay, no access of too much of anything to get us in the way of this relationship. Okay, and the fourth is to have our door open all the time and be there for others who are in need. Then when we have those four points, then we are in harmony and we are carrying this part of this name in a positive way, in an effective way. And this is something like all other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we reflected on, that once you realize this name in our lives and how it's fitting with Allah and it's fitting with us, our life become a balanced life or balanced life, that we know where we're going and we know what our limits and the boundaries that we should put around us, and the boundaries that we should not put around us, our life becomes comfortable. As we've been talking with the last few days about about what is our deen. Our deen is clear, it is about tawheed. And shaitan's work is to get us away from this tawheed with something that is so strong, so violent, or something that is so beautiful and so kind, okay, seem like. But to get us away from this tawheed. And the issue with mankind from the beginning is the issue of going away from tawheed. Okay? And we see the messengers, all the messengers of Allah, comes and asks and commands those that they came to go back to the idea of the oneness of Allah, the idea of tawheed. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, impurities started coming into our tawheed. And in order for us to live a life that is a beautiful life, a fruitful life for us and for others around us, we need to filter our religion away, or filter the impurity that came into our tawheed away. So we go back to this idea that is pure idea of tawheed. And this, talking about the attributes of Allah, reflecting on it in our lives, in our daily lives, in our daily thoughts, in our attitude, that bring us to this. This is the epitome of tawheed. When you understand all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, try to get some grasp that is Allah allows us to get, because of course the attributes of Allah we cannot totally grasp, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot contain Allah. Okay? But what Allah give us from the attributes and our understanding in it, that help us to filter very quickly and very clearly any impurities that comes into our idea of tawheed. And the idea of tawheed is not just the idea of recognizing who is Allah, but also acting in a way of getting close to Allah. That is a combination that we try to work with in the Asma'ullah al-Husna. That you recognize the attributes of Allah, and once you recognize this recognition will move you into understanding where you fit in this name, and then you act according to it, according to the rules and guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, we are achieving Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Okay? Mankind, in general, they cannot articulate Tawheed al-Rububiyyah even so much. When you ask a person about the Creator, about God, or the name that they carry for the Creator, so what they going to give you is very limited attributes. Very limited attributes. They will tell you, you know, God, He created us. And God has given us everything. And that's it. Okay? That's it. The beauty of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the religion, the last message, the Quran and Sunnah, you get to know about Allah. In other books, how many attributes of Allah are there? Or ended of how with how many attributes of Allah in there? Very little. I think someone who used to be a minister who became a Muslim, I think he said about 3 or 4 attributes in the whole Bible. Okay? But you know, you open the Quran, and every few verses, here are the attributes of Allah, one after another, two together, three together, one after this, one before that. It's all over the Quran. Okay, this is to recognize Allah with His attributes, and to recognize, to get to know ourselves, to get to know ourselves. And the more we know about ourselves through the attributes of Allah, the more we know how to behave in this life and where we stand with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closer or further away. So today we are trying to learn about this, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is As-Samad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is always there, the one that all His creation needs and He does not need His creation, the one who carries all the attributes that we absolutely need. And when we are doing so, we must do this with intention that is pure only for Allah. And when we go to Allah and only Allah, Allah knows that if we are sincere in that or there is some impurity in our intention. And too much access of things and pursuing access of things gets in the way of this understanding and this implementation. And then to be a person who is constantly there for those who are in need, and one will be generous with what they carry from the gifts of Allah to serve others. But serving others, we are Muslimun. Yeah, we'll try gonna get away from this Muslims things. Okay, now put an S behind every word, it becomes a plural. Okay. Okay. We are now, you know, we some of us carry in the language of Arabic, but the hearts of non Arabs now, I'm telling you, it's going away. The mind of non Arab, yes. We still dream in Arabic, alhamdulillah, it did not quite go away. Now I forgot my thought that I was... Now, yeah, we are Muslimin, but why did I talk about that? We're talking about how a Muslim's, their door is open all the time, okay? And do not deny others the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And we should be always generous. Okay? I think the thought is coming now. Okay. That we are generous, we should be generous of Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and not hold it back on others. And being there for others. This is the essence of this word, of this attribute of a summon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of His attributes. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to work with these attributes and be successful in achieving the goals that we're trying to achieve. Please, inshaAllah, go ahead and make the comments, inshaAllah. This one is, yeah, this part of the session is what I missed the most when I was away, yes. The part that you're going to do right now.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. If you asked me before this session what is Samad mean, you know, some tafsir said that the one who does not need anybody, mm-hmm. and he, you know, he's getting sustenance, you know, doesn't need sustenance and he is standing, you know, he does not need anyone. That's the bottom line.
And everyone needs him.
Right. Yeah. And From my knowledge in Arabi, which is very, you know, shallow, that Samit means the one who stands fast.
Yes,
right?
Stay.
Yeah, stay. Does not move firm in the ground. That and Subhanallah, yani if we are we reflect on this idea of standing fast, you know, as a Muslims, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, he said the mathalul Muslim, yani the example of the Muslim is the example of a tree, which is if the wind come and the calamity and everything, it will bend, you know, with the wind, but will not break, but it always stand, you know, and firm on its ground. So whatever happened, going back and forth, to you will find them there. So what I think, or what I could take that, and this is very nice as a Muslim to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to be always standing firm in front of shirk and kufr and impurity in Islam and calamities and pressure and whatever, you know, things happen, and does not move us at all from where we are standing, which is, you know, holding to the robe of Allah and keep, you know, standing fast, and which is lead us to another attribute, which is sabr, you know, be patient in what you have, and of course this is theory, but to do it in practical terms it's very hard, you know, subhanallah, because the pressure these days are unbelievable on us, you know, and especially in the West, and families, and you know, work, the media, and everything. I'm talking about from little things, from a beer to big things like praying at work. And, I mean, the looks, the everybody, you know. You go through so much pressure in this part of the world, inshallah. And I think if we will learn anything from this attribute of Allah, that we should stand fast against any pressure from the outside, you know, to move us even a hairline from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger want us to do. And, you know, like what Allah said to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that لَقَدْ كِدَّ تَرْكُنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. Like Allah does not want us to even, you know, give up teeny tiny things what Allah wants us to stand fast in. Allahu alam.
Yes, and we're so much immersed in the. See, if we start talking now, shirk and kufr and so forth, oh, come on, you know.
Right.
But it is true. It is true, you know. You the way of life all around us is the way of taking the means, and the means will give you.
Right.
In being independent from the Creator.
Right.
Everything is designed that way.
Yeah, you don't need God.
Right.
Yeah, why?
It is designed that way. And you look at it, and you don't look at it first that way. When you come into it, you say, you look at the Islamic point of it. Oh, good manners, oh this and oh that, right? And then you get into it, and you get into this circle and this wheel and this, you know, day in and day out, and you start, you know, this idea of Tawheed start going away and start diminishing, yes.
Right.
Okay, a little, and it creeps up in you. A little by little, it creeps up in you.
You see this a lot in the medical field. You know,
Let me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me give you. I was in Egypt a while back. Not this visit. A long time ago, and it just this point struck me so much that, you know, just a comment and words. With a conversation, just you know, we know what a weather conversation is, okay, right, okay. How are you? Fine. How about you? I'm fine. You know, the weather nice today. Yes, you know, and all of that, right? You know, and then that kind of a conversation here, how does it go? It's too hot today, right? Or it's too cold. There is some kind of a complaint about it, okay? Very little appreciation or something like that, right? Yeah. Now, I got into a cab in Cairo, right? And it was a very hot day in the summer. And entered, and I started with this conversation, right? I said, it's a very hot day today, you know? And he said, Mulku huwa hur. He said, it is his ownership. He does what he wishes. It's just like, it hit me, you know? You know, you see this conversation? You know, he said, Mulku huwa hur.
Understand?
Yes. Yeah, from a cab driver, you understand? Yeah, so when you are around this, it is, yes, it is, even if it becomes rough, it becomes tough, and so forth, but that seed is there, okay? This person who has that tawheed eventually is entering Jannah, by the will of Allah, because he has that tawheed in him. Even if he goes astray here and there, even if he enters hellfire, he will end up in Jannah eventually. Okay? Yes, it's a promise from Allah that the one who carries tawheed, okay, will enter Jannah. It's a promise. Okay? Even if he enters hellfire. Okay? So you know, and again, a story that I've told before, that the essence of the fear of Allah and tawheed, you know, within the soul of a Muslim is so deep that now longer back than the cab incident, longer, about 10 years before that or so, or maybe longer than that, it was in the 80s, early 80s, and it was involved in something there in working in areas where it's very primitive, like, you know. So there was some work that has involved others who are in the area doing some work for us, okay? Meaning subcontracting, okay? That's what's called here. So it was moving some earth, some dirt from an area to an area, you know. So there were people, local people, you know, a person who's taking the lead on that, who would hire, you know, those who are looking for, you know, some couple of dollars, you know, a day or something to do some work, labor. And so I witnessed this in the end of the job and the end of a day, and under, you know, a fig tree. Okay, you know how the fig tree is so big, right? With his shaded, and here is the man who's sitting there, and then those workers are coming to him to get paid. So he's tough, you know, with a stick and stuff, you know, and his voice is loud and all of that. So here is the young man come to him, says, what, you work this much, not that much, negotiate, and here it is, okay, gone. Another one, you know, this, gone. Okay, he argue with them and so forth, and try, each one would want to make the best of deal, and gone. And then left a little boy, a small boy, coming to him. And then he said, okay, you work this and that, and here it is. He said, no. He said, that's not what I work. I work more than this. He said, no. So the little boy, his voice got loud a little bit. No, I work. He said, don't get your voice. You did this and that. I became tough with him. So the boy became very quiet, and a tear came down in his cheek. And then he said, this is what you're going to pay me? That's fine. But Allah will take care of it. And turned around and walked away. The man ran after him. He said, please, don't cry. He said, I'll make dua. He said, no, please, I'll give you what you want. Okay? Where is that? What is that? Okay? That is the essence of tawheed. Okay? That is the light in the heart that knows that if this little boy, if you commit any injustice to him, and if he complains to Allah, you are in trouble and you are gone. And he knows that deep in his heart. And you find this man who was acting so big became big in this little boy, until he made him please and give him what he want. Give him what he wants. Please go ahead.
I want to think that when Sheikh Mahmoud was talking about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislike that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislike that the person do not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I actually remember a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and inshallah it's a Hassan hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get angry from the one who does not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very very profound hadith subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, from two points. One is, you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king, the owner of everything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get angry if you do not ask him, which gives you the impression that I should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he's actually the owner of everything. The other thing is, it gives you the fear of not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is another thing. Like, if for any reason, if anybody by mistake thought that he doesn't need anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which cannot be, he still has to fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get angry if he doesn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is actually I think subhanAllah is a very very profound hadith that subhanAllah came to me when Sheikh Mahmoud was talking about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislike the one who doesn't ask him.
Alhamdulillah. Any sisters inshallah would like to make any comments as you wish? Yes? Okay. That's it. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan.